Imagine the power. What if every single local community group, doesn't matter how small, had the digital tools they need, like really needed to thrive, but without, getting totally tangled up in the big tech maze? That's the fascinating world we're diving into today.
That's a really important area, absolutely.
So our deep dive today looks at the cybervolunteers.net network. We've been digging into their main document, cybervolunteers.net network, Digital Inclusion for Associations.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission for you listening is to really uncover how tech can genuinely be a force for inclusion for development, especially for nonprofits. And you know, what makes this specific approach so different, so impactful?
Well, it couldn't be more relevant, could it? I mean, these days, every organization needs some kind of digital footing.
Exactly.
Digital skills, accessible tech. They're not extras anymore, are they? They're fundamental. You need them to connect with people, reach beneficiaries, just keep the lights on, basically.
But that's the hurdle, right?
Yeah.
For so many smaller community groups, it feels, well, overwhelming.
Mm.
Maybe impossible.
That's precisely the gap. Yeah.
Yeah.
The gap cybervolunteers.net is trying to bridge.
Okay, so tackling something that big, that complex, there must have been a really strong sort of foundational vision behind it all. Can you tell us about how this whole cybervolunteering idea got started? What sparked it?
Absolutely. And it wasn't, just an isolated thought bubble. Their vision for cyber volunteering, it was actually born in 2003.
Okay, 2003.
Yeah, and that timing is pretty important because it lined up exactly with the first World Summit on the Information Society, the WSIS, that the UN and ITU organized in Geneva.
Ah, the WSIS. So that global context was there from the very beginning.
It really was. It meant their thinking was shaped right from day one by this bigger picture, this global awareness of the need for digital inclusion.
Okay, so that timing, the WSIS connection, did that global view shape their early strategy in specific ways? And crucially, what was the actual problem they saw that needed this kind of, well, innovative solution?
It definitely did. That global perspective really highlighted how widespread the digital divide was and still is. The core problem was pretty stark. Local community organizations, the ones doing vital work on the ground.
Yeah, the grassroots ones.
Exactly. They were consistently getting left behind in this whole digital shift. They just didn't have the money or the know-how, or often, let's be honest, both.
Right.
So cybervolunteers.net's purpose grew out of this really strong belief. Technology should be a driver of inclusion and development for all associations, no matter their size, no matter their resources. It's a philosophy about empowerment, not just handing over tools.
Empowerment, not just tools. That's a key distinction. Now, lots of groups, even nonprofits, might just grab whatever commercial software is easiest, right?
Yeah, it's the default sometimes.
But their vision specifically highlights free and open source software.
Yeah.
Why that choice? What was the thinking there? And how does that become a game changer for these groups who are always watching the budget?
Mm. That's where it gets really insightful, I think. Choosing FOSS, free and open source software, it was a brilliant strategic move. For nonprofits, budgets are always tight, right?
Always.
So first off, FOSS just slashes that cost barrier. No big licensing fees eating up precious funds. Second, and this is huge, it's about real digital freedom. Autonomy.
How so?
Well, you're not locked into one company system.
Yeah.
Where they dictate the updates, the terms, suddenly change the price. With FOSS, you often have the source code. That gives you incredible control, flexibility. Your tools can evolve with your needs, not some corporation's roadmap.
Okay, so control and flexibility.
And there's more. Transparency, the code's open, anyone can look at it, that builds trust. And finally, it's community-driven. Lots of people can work on it, adapt it, improve it. So the solutions become more resilient, more suited to what people actually need on the ground. It's about building digital tools for the community, maybe even by the community.
Building by the community. I like that. Okay, so with that powerful vision focused on autonomy, what were the specific goals? The objectives cybervolunteers.net actually set out to achieve. It sounds like they needed a clear roadmap.
They did. And what's clever about their five main objectives is how they all link together. It's like an ecosystem designed to build long-term digital independence, not just quick fixes.
Ah, ecosystem. Okay.
Yeah, it's not just about the tech. It's about making sure organizations can actually use it themselves sustainably. So for instance, one, strengthening digital skills.
Right.
That's the foundation, right? So they can actually manage the tech themselves long term.
Makes sense. Skills first.
Two, website development. helping them build solid, low-cost sites using FOSS. And because they have the skills, they can ideally run these sites themselves.
Right. Connected.
3, community social networks. This one's really interesting, creating dedicated digital spaces to boost interaction, fight social isolation. We should probably talk more about that one.
Definitely. Let's circle back to that.
Okay. 4, digital accessibility. Just making sure affordable open source solutions are actually available, removing that cost barrier again.
Okay.
And 5, personalized technical support, tailored help with setting things up, training, ongoing assistance, making sure the first 4 points stick, you know, that the projects last and grow.
It really sounds holistic. Skills, tools, community support.
Right.
It all fits together to build real capacity, not dependency.
Exactly. That's the key difference, building genuine capacity.
Okay, that interconnectedness makes a lot of sense. It's not just a checklist.
Yeah.
So with those 5 objectives guiding them, how does cybervolunteers.net actually put this into practice? Like, what happens when an association says, okay, we need help? What does that program look like?
Right, the practical side. Their program really focuses on delivering those objectives through a few core activities that all work together. It usually starts with democratizing access to digital tech.
Okay, democratizing access. What does that mean in practice?
It means making sure all these web opportunities are genuinely open to local groups, but, and this is crucial, doing it in a way that respects their specific values, their mission. It's not about forcing a standard tech solution onto them.
Got it. Tailored.
Then there's digital training. Again, tailored sessions. Not just how to click this button, but helping them really master the tools independently, building confidence, competence.
Right. True skills.
They also actively focus on open source solutions, developing them, adapting existing ones specifically for the nonprofit world. So you get high quality, relevant tools without the high price tag.
Okay.
And finally, that ongoing support piece, emphasizing that personalized help because, you know, a digital journey doesn't just stop once a website is launched. It ensures things are sustainable, helps them grow, fosters real autonomy.
Their big goal then, it sounds like, is building a nonprofit sector that's more connected, more autonomous, more inclusive. It really shows how you can use digital tools for actual social good, right? Mm-hmm. Strengthening communities.
Precisely. It's about leveraging tech to reinforce the social fabric.
Okay, let's zoom in, like you suggested, on that really distinctive objective, creating community social networks. Now, we all know Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the big mainstream platforms driven by algorithms. This sounds, well, totally different. Can you break that down? What are these human-centered networks?
Yeah, this is where they really carve out a unique path, stepping away from the dominant digital trends. They're not trying to be the next Facebook.
Right.
These are specific, dedicated digital spaces designed for particular groups, maybe seniors or women's associations or, you know, other communities that might feel isolated or underserved online.
Okay, so dedicated spaces.
And the core purpose, the explicit goal, is fostering real interaction, genuine connection, and actively pushing back against social isolation within that specific group.
And the human-centered part, what makes them different from, say, a private Facebook group?
That's the absolute key distinction. They are designed to be human-centered, meaning completely free from algorithms deciding what you see, free from user profiling that slots you into categories, and crucially, free from data exploitation where your clicks and posts become a product to be sold.
Wow. No algorithms, no profiling, no data selling.
None of it. It's a very deliberate, conscious choice to contrast with those mainstream commercial platforms where often the user's data is the product. It's almost like going back to the original idea of the internet pure community building, genuine connection.
It feels radical almost in today's world.
Right.
Stepping away completely from that data-driven model, it's fascinating, especially now with all the concerns about data privacy, algorithms messing with what we see, mental health impacts.
Exactly.
What are the broader implications of creating these kinds of spaces, these human-centered, algorithm-free zones for communities? It feels like it could be a different way of thinking about being online altogether, moving from like extraction to actual empowerment.
It definitely raises those bigger questions. It suggests there might be other models for online interaction that we haven't fully explored yet.
Okay, so we've talked vision, objectives, the nuts and bolts, but theory is one thing. The real test is impact, right?
Always.
So let's get concrete. Let's dive into some of those stories from Geneva you mentioned, where this network is actually making a difference on the ground. These aren't just ideas. They're helping real people, real communities.
Indeed. And the testimonials really paint a picture of how diverse that impact is. It's not just one type of organization benefiting. Each story shows how these tailored, human-focused solutions can really change things.
Okay, let's start with Glorina Zocco, president of CLAFG, that's the Liaison Center for Geneva Women's Associations. What was their challenge, and how did cybervolunteers.net help?
Well, CLAFG needed a space, a secure, independent digital place where women from different associations could connect, share information, organize activities, but crucially, without the risks or commercial pressures you might find on mainstream platforms.
Right, a safe, dedicated space.
Exactly. So cybervolunteers.net helped them build femmesdegeneve.ch, and it became much more than just a website or forum. It turned into this really vibrant hub, fostering exchanges, building links between women, and importantly, strengthening what CLAFG calls digital sovereignty in Geneva.
Digital sovereignty? What does that mean exactly?
It's basically about the community having collective control over its own digital tools and data, being independent from those big commercial platforms.
Oh.
It's a really powerful idea, empowerment through owning your own digital space.
Owning your own space. That really drives home the autonomy point.
Yeah.
Okay, what about seniors? Aging can bring isolation, and tech can feel daunting. You mentioned two examples there.
Yes, absolutely a critical area. The first was with the Seniors et Alor social network project manager. The big challenge there was clear: bridging that digital divide for retirees and really fighting against the social isolation that can creep in after people stop working.
A huge issue.
Definitely. And the solution, seniors@elors.ch, wasn't just another website. It became a real digital meeting place. It actively encouraged interaction, let people share their stories, their experiences. It even helped seniors find ways to use their valuable skills. It kind of reframed retirement online as a time for engagement, not withdrawal.
Turning it into something positive and active. I like that.
Yeah, giving that digital sphere real life for them.
And the second seniors example, ahead of a seniors club. How's that different? More practical, maybe?
Exactly. While the main site was about broad connection, the Seniors et Alor Dutch Club web tools were much more focused on the day-to-day communication needs of individual clubs.
Okay, like newsletters and schedules.
Precisely. Sharing event details, news, photos, making it way easier for clubs to communicate effectively with their members. This increased the visibility of what they were doing and just strengthened the bonds within each club community. Smoother operations, better informed members, more connection.
That's perfect sense.
Okay.
Moving to neighborhood centers, Plain Palais Neighborhood Center. Their support sounded very practical, too, managing spaces and reaching out.
It was incredibly practical, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Directly impacting how the center operated and connected with residents. Cybervolunteers.net built them a specific communication tool for their Cordier1205.ch activities, keeping locals in the loop about events.
Okay.
But they also tackled a logistical headache: booking spaces. They created Cordier1205.clia, a digital booking system. This streamlined what was probably a tricky manual process before, making it much easier for local groups to actually access and use the center's premises, making the hub truly accessible online and off.
That's smart, removing friction points.
Yeah.
Now, this next one sounds really interesting. The Inclusive AI Summit for 2024 and 2025, organizing something like that, focused on inclusive, human-centered AI that must have its own unique challenges logistically and even philosophically.
Absolutely. Their support for the Summit for Inclusive Human-Centered AI was described as invaluable. And you can see why. It's complex to run an event about those principles while making sure the event itself embodies them.
Right. You have to walk the talk.
Exactly. Cybervolunteers.net set up digital tools like iasummitcitoyen.ch to handle coordination, communication between everyone involved, organizers, speakers, attendees. But it wasn't just about being efficient. It was about creating an online environment that felt inclusive, collaborative, mirroring the summit's actual values, ensuring the tech infrastructure aligned with the message of ethical, accessible AI.
So the media matched the message. Very cool.
Precisely.
And finally, you mentioned an individual, Jean-Luc, a sailing enthusiast. It shows this isn't just for formal organizations.
That's a great example of their flexibility. For Jean-Luc and his fellow sailors on Lake Geneva, the need was simple: a dedicated online spot for their passion, away from all the noise and ads on bigger platforms.
A niche community.
A very specific one. Cybervolunteers.net created the shipshare.ca social network, a custom digital space just for them, promoting chat, advice sharing, coordinating sailing trips, building connections. It really boosted that specific regional sailing community. It just shows how tailored these solutions can be, fostering connection even in very specific interest groups.
It's really striking, isn't it? Across all these examples, women's groups, seniors, neighborhoods, AI experts, sailors, the common thread is that these aren't generic, off-the-shelf solutions. They're genuinely tailored, genuinely impactful. Mm. It proves that technology, when you build it with purpose for people, it can have this incredibly broad positive effect.
Absolutely. And if you connect that back to the bigger picture, these examples just shout about the power of tech when it's built for communities with communities, not just dropped on them from above. It's about giving people the power to shape their own digital tools, their own online spaces, and the result, real social benefits, more autonomy for the groups, and ultimately a stronger, more connected, more human civil society. It's a really potent counterstory to the usual tech narrative, isn't it?
It really is a powerful counter-narrative. So wrapping up our deep dive today on cybervolunteers.net, we've seen how they're empowering local groups with digital tools that are accessible, truly human-centered.
Yeah.
That commitment to free and open source software, it's not just about saving money. It's about delivering genuine digital freedom, that autonomy we talked about.
For sure.
And their whole approach to community social networks, offering real connection, building trust, deliberately avoiding the data-hungry models of mainstream tech. It really stands out.
It really does. And this whole deep dive into what cybervolunteers.net is doing, it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? What if more of our digital life, you know, across every sector was actually built like this, truly human-centered, algorithm-free, designed purely for connection, for the collective good?
Mm-hmm.
What potential are we missing out on? For community, for collaboration, for real social impact, just because we haven't prioritized that digital autonomy, that ethical design?
That is a powerful thought to leave everyone with.
Yeah.
A vision of a digital world built, well, truly for us. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into what a more inclusive, more human-centered digital future could look like. We really hope this has given you plenty to think about.